Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana valaba girivaradari. Gopi jana valaba girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Valaba Girivaradari. Gopi Jana Valaba Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori. Jaya Jai Jagannath, Jaya Jai Jagannath, Jaya Jai Baladev, Jaya Jai Subhadra. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivigacharya Asata Asata His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivigacharya Asata Asata His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namaste, Sarasvati Devi, Guravani Pracharan, Yushishishunya Vali Pashadishad, Bhancha Kalpata Rubyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bezavacha, Patita Dampavana Vivashna Vipanamunama. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's reading from Canto 10, Chapter 25, entitled Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, verse 5. Vachalam balisham stabdam. Agyam pandita maninam. Krishnam martyam upasritya. Gopame chakrur apriyam. Vachalam balisam stabdam agyam pandita maninam krishnam martyam upasritiam gopame chakrur apriyam vachalam balisam stabdam agyam pandita maninam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Gopame Chakrur Apriyam. Agyam Padita Maninam. Krishnam Martyam Upasrityam Gopame Chakurapriyam Vachalam Balisam Stabdam Agyam Panditamaninam Krishnam Martyam Upasrityam Gopame Chakrur Apriyam. Thank you for chanting. We will go to word by word translation. Vachalam, over talkative. Balisham, child. Stabdam, arrogant. Agyam, foolish. Pandita Maninam, thinking himself wise. Krishnam, Krishna. Martyam, a human being. Upasritya, taking shelter of. Gopaha, the cowherds. Me, against me. Chakruhu, have acted. Apriyam, unfavorably. Translation: these cowherd men have acted inimically toward me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, and over-talkative child. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, through the insults of Indra, Goddess Saraswati is actually praising Krishna. The Acharya explains, Balisha means free from pretension, just like a child. Stabdham means that he bows down to no one because there is no one for him to offer homage to. Agyam means that there is nothing more for him to know because he is omniscient. Pandita Manina means that he is highly honored by the knowers of the Absolute Truth. And Krishna means that he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, whose transcendental form is full of eternity and ecstasy. Martyam means that although he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, he nevertheless appears in this world as a human being, out of affection for his devotees. Indra wanted to rebuke Krishna as Vachalam because the Lord had presented many audacious arguments in the line of Karma Mimamsa and Sankhya philosophy, even though he did not accept these arguments. Thus Indra called the Lord Balisha, foolish. Indra called him Stabda because he had spoken boldly even in the presence of his own father. Although Indra attempted to criticize Sri Krishna, the Lord's transcendental character is in fact impeccable. And this chapter will demonstrate how Indra came to recognize the position of the Lord. Om Agyana Timrandashya Gyananjaya Sharakaya Chakshuva Mitam Gyana Tashmai Shri Guru Venma Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Sapinam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam. Thank you very much for coming today. And we'll be talking about anger today. Anger. Lord Indra became angry at Krishna. So, is there anyone here who has never gotten angry? Never, right? So, I even got angry this morning when I was on my way here because I was running a little bit late, so I was angry with the stoplights and people were going slow, and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta be at least 2-3 minutes early. I don't want to be just on the nose, you know. This anger is there. Some sages say that it is even harder to control than all the other senses. We'll talk about that more, but in general, Lord Krishna, this unbelievable chapter, it's shown how Lord Krishna protects his devotees from Lord Indra's, from Indra's anger, and teaches Indra a lesson. Now, what lesson did Indra learn? Well, that he should not threaten Lord Krishna's devotees, he should not minimize God, he should not overuse his high post as the king of heaven. And such common problems in today's world are, they're commonplace, you know. People in high positions, politicians, athletes, they're abusing their position, high post in government or in politics and management, abusing their position to force people, hurt people for their own reasons. Spiritualists over the centuries have been criticized, you know, and persecuted, you know, in different religious traditions. That's been going on for centuries and thousands of years. We are lucky, somewhat lucky in the United States, in the Western world. We have the freedom of speech and we can express our beliefs openly. And maybe not so much in some of the other parts of the world, but definitely in the West. People minimize God to the point where even so-called spiritualists, religionists, they go to the temple or church, you know, once a year. They say they believe in God, but their life may not reflect it. They do not even visit the temple of the Lord more than once a year. And I'm just generalizing over here. Lord Indra believed in Vishnu and Krishna, believed in God, but he got bewildered. He got bewildered by his high position and his power. He became attached to his position and power and his the way he ruled. And we later explored different stages of anger and why it arises. And what are the consequences of becoming angry? So obviously, Lord Indra acted contrary to what was expected of his position as the King of Heaven. Let his frustration and anger get to him, misjudge the whole situation, and try to punish Krishna's devotees and Krishna. So, like I said, we'll be talking about anger today. How we can restrain it properly so we don't make the mistake of letting the anger dictate our actions and words, and we don't make mistakes in devotional service and in life in general. I've been a rather angry person through all my teenage years, and I just remember one example. I mean, there are situations almost every day. There may be slight anger, high anger, you know, different levels of anger. But I remember in my teenage years, we used to go to, that was elementary school, I think. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, especially the first grade and second grade. I had my best friend there, and we would always spend time, you know, between classes in school and, you know, lunch break, and then after school we get together. And there were other couple good friends who were also good friends, but they were not as close. We were not as tight. So whenever my best friend, and he would also recognize me as his best friend, but sometimes he would talk to those other good friends more than I felt it was good, and I wanted him to spend more time with me. So sometimes, I would become a little jealous, and I would not be happy. So that would steal my happiness for the day. And sometimes when I was sick or had to do homework and he would spend time outside after school with those friends, who were also my friends but not as close, I would get really upset. I would look out the window doing my homework and look out the window and they're like over there doing something, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I get really jealous. And then also what we did in those years, we would go to karate school, right? 3 times a week. We would walk like a mile together and go to karate school at the park district somewhere. That was in Poland, way back, years ago, decades ago. And I would make sure when we practice karate, because all of us were going, I would make sure when we did sparring that I would punch those good friends a little bit harder, I would punch them harder. And sometimes my teacher would notice, easy, don't punch so hard, it's only practice, easy, 50%. But I would like to, inflict some pain on those friends because my best friend would hang out with them more. So I remember some of my behaviors and feelings at that time, and they were really intense. I don't want to give you more examples of different situations where I got really angry, but that was part of my teenage years and into adulthood. Anger is an issue for many of us, and sometimes it's even more difficult to control anger. Some people don't really get that much angry, but some people get angry almost every day. And that's really scary. I know many people who are always like very much under pressure, like at any time they can burst, they can have a tantrum. So I like make sure I talk to them nicely so I don't provoke it, by whatever I say. So that's been going on for years myself, and I'm sure people who get very angry and who cannot control anger. But what was most important for me then, and then even now, that when I get angry, it steals away my peace of mind and happiness. And I hurt others, hurt myself, because I'm not a happy camper, Once I get angry and I do something or say something, it stays with me for many hours and it spoils my day. So why get angry? Why get angry? Anger puts your mind in a different state of consciousness. Let me read you some verses from Bhagavad Gita. I'm sure you know these verses very well. From chapter 2, verse 62. And 63, actually, we'll cover 63 first. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Krodak pavati sammohaha. Samhat smriti vibramaha. Smriti brmshad buddhi naso buddhi nasat pranasyati. It says that from anger, what happens? There are different stages of anger, right? From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. And so it gives you different stages. I remember when I get angry, like a little bit out of control there, I know that I forget to say the right thing. I cannot think of a good argument. I just blocked, I just say something, but it doesn't make much sense. Because your memory, you're bewildered, your memories bewildered, and you delude it, and you lose your intelligence. I will also use in this class some examples from Ayurveda about how the anger arises and how to control it at its different stages. Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned something important in the purport. Maybe it was a different one. This is a different verse. So if you recognize these stages of anger, there are basically three stages that I personally, myself experienced, and also in Ayurveda, you can read about, find those stages of anger. You have anger, as you will read in Bhagavad Gita, because you have material desires. So that's why the anger is there, because in verse 62, Krishna says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. So, for example, Lord Indra was attached to his pose and to the way he ruled over the earth. And then when there was some disturbance and things didn't go his way, because of his attachment, it was strained, he was sensitive, then he became angry, even at God. And he became deluded. He didn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Lord at that time. So the three stages of anger, it starts in the heart, because in the heart we have material desires. And when those material desires are not satisfied, not met, then anger arises from the heart. But very quickly, within a split second, the anger rises to the head and it emanates from through the eyes. You can see, someone's eyes when they're angry, they're yelling or screaming, you can see, look in their eyes, how mean and scary they look. So the anger rises quickly through the chest, heart, chest, throat, and to the head and the eyes, and sometimes you even tremble. So the anger later goes into, pervades your whole body, and you can even shaking from anger. Cannot control your body even. So that's the third stage of anger. Very difficult to control anger, because it happens very quickly, within an instant. So you have to be really observant, monitoring those feelings and your desires as they're moving inside the heart. It also has to do with the modes of nature, because anger reflects some modes of nature, like ignorance and passion. There are three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So I'll read you another verse, verse 14. I'm sorry, chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 10. Rajas tamas chabhi bhuya satvam bhavati bharata, rajak satvam tamas chaiva tamah satvam rajas tata. Translation is that sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O son of Bharat. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times, ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. So we have different desires, and we are controlled by different modes of nature. The modes of nature reside in the heart and in the mind. Let me read you a purport to this verse, parts of the purport. Let's see. Srila Prabhupada says this competition is always between the modes, is always going on. One who is actually intent on advancing in Krishna consciousness has to transcend these three modes. The prominence of one of the modes of nature is manifested in one's dealings, activities, and how one eats. So there are symptoms you can find out if you're more in the mode of ignorance or passion. And human beings are generally considered to be more in the mode of passion. So they're more prone to anger. And demigods or higher beings are more in the mode of goodness. So they're not so much prone to anger, but as we can see, even demigods get angry. So even when they're supposed to be in the mode of goodness, they can still get angry and get downgraded into the mode of passion and ignorance. In the nectar of instruction, I brought my old copy of the Nectar of Instruction. There is a nice verse that encourages us to control the senses, and one of them is obviously anger that we're talking about. The nice verse is Vacho vegam manashak krodha vegam jihva vegam udaropastha vegam etan vegan yov vishaheta diraha sarvam apimam prativim sasishyat. The translation is that a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, and the the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So if you have a high post, like Lord Indra, or you know any post that requires then you lead and manage students or people, you have to be in good control of anger and other senses, those urges. So this is very important to recognize how important it is to control, manage the anger. So once again, the three levels of anger are at the heart, and it rises to the head through the eyes, and it pervades your whole body if you don't stop it. And then you can become really destructive, you know, when you let the anger control your whole system, your body and mind. So I'll give you some examples. And one other thing that I wanted to mention in relation to that verse from Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, is that that anger has some use. Obviously, it cannot be stopped completely, but it has some use. It can be applied correctly. And Srila Prabhupada gives a nice example. Nice example of some pastimes of Krishna's devotees who utilize anger in the service of the Lord. So we can see krodha, or anger, can be applied rightly. It was in anger that Hanuman set fire to Sri Lanka, but he is worshipped as the greatest devotee of Lord Ramachandra. This means that he utilized his anger in the right way. Arjuna serves as another example. He was not willing to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but Krishna incited his anger. You must fight. To fight without anger is not possible. Anger is controlled, however, when utilized in the service of the Lord. So there is proper use of anger. I by no means recommend we keep going around and setting fires to people who we think are bad or you know not following our method. I don't encourage that. These pastimes are pastimes of pure devotees of the Lord, but the principle is that there is proper use of anger, and sometimes you can use anger to protect Lord Krishna's devotees from criticism. You can use control anger and come up with good arguments, logical arguments to defeat demoniac atheistic philosophies. You can use that emotion of anger to control the anger to defeat those philosophies. So there are instances that you know even practicing devotees can utilize anger in a nice way, defeating other philosophies. Especially if you're a preacher, if you speak, share Krishna consciousness with others, there are undoubtedly sooner or later there will be someone who will start criticizing or giving some rational, irrational comments, and then you have to stand up and defeat that philosophy. Once again, without offending the person. So here are some examples of anger, using anger in the service of the Lord. Going back to the three levels of anger, at the heart, and in the head, and the mind, and also inside your body. Three stages of anger. The Eastern Vedic scriptures, such as Ayurveda, the science of life, which is the These are the medicinal scriptures contained in the Vedas. They teach that you can control your anger by using the right method at the right stage. For example, if the anger is still in the heart and it didn't overpower your mind, it didn't get there, you use a different technology, spiritual technology. If the anger is already in your mind and you have a hard time controlling your thoughts and you're about to say something improper, and then there's a different technology that can be used to tame, control the anger, dissipate it, neutralize it. And when the anger is already in your body, you're trembling and it seems like it's beyond your control, then there's still a different way to control it. You can still do something. So let me give you an example here. So basically you're matching the stage of your anger with the right technology. And the technologies that Ayurveda recommends are exercise, yoga, asana, breathing techniques, pranayama, and mantra, spiritual vibrations. So, for example, Ayurveda teaches that obviously your whole system consists of the gross body and the subtle body and your Atma, the self. So it's the same idea, the same philosophy, and the same spiritual science. And then it talks about seven chakras or energy centers that are placed alongside your spine. Seven of them, starting at the base of the spine and going all the way up to the top of your head. Seven chakras. And those seven chakras are like, they connect your subtle body, the spirit, the Atma to the physical body, okay? They connect. They're part of the subtle body. And those chakras branch out into subtle channels or nadis. The Sanskrit word is nadis. And you can, when you get angry, those subtle channels get disturbed. So when you find yourself that the anger is already in your mind and your eyes and you start, you know, you're about to say something bad, what you can do, you can use pranayama, and there are a few different ways to breathe in yoga. And the ones that cool off fire and make you calmer are lunar type of breathing. Okay, so I will give you a quick demo because it doesn't require much movement. So there are two breathing techniques that you can use when you think the anger is already here. And you get a little flushed, you know, and you get, you know, your lips may tremble and you get really upset. You can use left nostril breathing, which is inhaling through your left nostril and quickly exhaling long exhalation. So you want to focus on inhaling deeply and quickly, and you don't want to hold the breath, because holding the breath, it'll increase the fire more. You want to breathe out long and breathe out all the air you have. So I'll give you two breaths here so you can watch. Long exhalation again. Long exhalation. If you do this for a minute or two, your anger will be neutralized. That's a little bit when the anger is still not overpowering you. When the anger is really getting a little bit worse, then you use this breathing technique called Shitali, and you can breathe in through your teeth. Normally, yoga does not recommend breathing in through your mouth, but in this case, because you want to cool off the mind and the brain, you are allowed and it's recommended you breathe in through your heat and the air that gets in is cooled, so it cools your whole head, and you breathe in through your mouth, through your teeth, breathe out through your mouth, and you do that for a minute. That really dissipates the anger that's running in your mind. Now, if the anger is already so bad that you want to punch a wall or punch somebody, it's already you're really trembling. It may be too late to even breathe. You cannot even breathe. You're like, you know, sometimes people like get a little bit like feel like it's the throat is closing. You know, they're so angry. You know, they cannot talk. You know, so it's really bad. So at that time, yeah, there are some things you can do. You can actually do some dynamic exercise that draws the blood away from the head and the upper body. So you can do some squats. You know, you can do some jumps that utilize the legs. I would recommend jumping. I cannot show you right now, but jumping. So you use your legs. You draw the blood away from the upper body, and you can also do some push-ups. You know, push-ups are have different uses, and if you're angry, it'll help you do nice push-ups. I'm sorry, I cannot show it to you, demonstrate. But what happens? You draw the blood away from the head, and then it's easier to control the anger. Splash cold water on your face, and then when the anger is a little bit withdrawn from the body, you can go back to your breathing techniques: left nostril breathing and breathing through your teeth. That's another form of breathing. And then once your anger is under control, you can do alternate nostril breathing. Okay, once you think you got it under control, you're gonna go alternate nostril breathing, which is breathe in through your left, breathe out through your right, and now breathe in through your right, breathe out through your left, breathe in through your left, breathe out through your right nostril, breathe into your right and breathe out to your left. So that's when you have the anger kind of under control. You do that. That equalizes the five energies within your head, the five vayus. Okay. So these are some of the strategies that that Ayurveda utilizes and recommends to do. I found that even though Ayurveda recommends doing some asanas, when you get really angry, the asanas may be too slow and you cannot control the anger, so I prefer doing the jumps and push-ups, and really gets the anger out of the upper region of your system. And then you can move on to different strategies. When the anger seems to be withdrawn from the head and goes back into your heart, it is more under control, then it is a better time to use the mantra. Because when you're really angry and you're losing it, it's very hard to, it's improper to chant any mantra, because you don't have the right state of consciousness. Yoga recommends you have to position yourself in the right state of consciousness, and then you appreciate and benefit from the mantra. So what I found useful is actually bringing the anger back into the heart, where it arises from the material desires. And when it is there, you chant the mantra. But if the anger is already here, you may not be able to focus on the holy name. For us, the devotees chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which as a side effect, it uproots all the material desires. That's the byproduct of the process of chanting Hare Krishna. But once again, if you're really angry, you will offend, you'll commit offenses while chanting. So it is more proper to stabilize the anger level, bring it back to the heart, and then the mind is cleared up. Then you can start chanting and hearing properly, and then it really works at the root level, and uproots the mantra will uproot the desires that are in your heart, and also uproot the anger, so it will become weakened, just like a snake, venomous snake that has its fangs, you know, very deadly fangs. They can squirt venom into your body if it bites you, but if that poison is removed, then the snake, even though it has big teeth, you know, sharp teeth, it cannot utilize the fangs to squirt, give you poison. So our desires and the anger will not be very powerful if we daily take time to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Once again, in the right state of consciousness, we do not want to commit offenses to the holy name. And the devotees chanting our mantras or doing our pujas in an angry mood, that is not proper. So these are some of the points that Ayurveda recommends. Bhagavad Gita. It gives nice, all these stages are broken down. Chapter 14 again. There is always competition between the modes. And one is downgraded from goodness. If you get angry, your devotional service changes. You know, it cannot even be called devotional service. You get angry, you forget your status, you forget, you know, the status of your friendly devotees. For myself, you know, I sometimes get angry. You know, I lead a grihastha life, so when I get angry, I forget, you know, that, you know, my children, my wife, they're parts of Krishna. They are Krishna's servants, trying to be Krishna's servants as much as I am trying, and you can commit offenses, and then it's hard to continue your chanting, continue your program of devotional service, because your peace and happiness from the mind and heart is gone. And if you're not in the mode of goodness, you're always getting angry and passion and ignorance. How can you become a successful spiritualist? How can you become successful on the path of devotional life? I think I have covered most of the points. And as a review, we still have some time. I can review it with you. The anger causes one to downgrade one's consciousness from goodness to passion into ignorance, and the anger rises from the desire into the mind, where the mode of passion and ignorance kick in, and they take away your intelligence and memory, and you commit mistakes, just like Logendra. You make big mistakes, and then you have to learn the hard way, just like Indra did. When you finish reading this chapter, we'll know how Krishna taught Indra a lesson. So this looks like an exciting chapter. So we have our technologies of breathing, pranayama, and doing our asanas or exercise. And also, I forgot to mention, there are points on your body called marmas. Marma, they have physical location, and they can be actually touched with your fingers. So another technology that brings the anger that's already in the mind and the eyes under control is, there are two marma points or pressure points that are on your eyebrows. One is in the middle of your eyebrow, and one is on the side of your eyebrow, on both sides. So if you take your ring finger or index finger, or index or ring finger, index or middle finger, and you circle and you circulate, touch the point, and you make circles, gently pressing, then the anger will subside from this region, and you feel much better, like the pressure will be relieved and the anger will go back a little bit down. So these marmas are listed in Ayurvedic books. So two marmas, one in the middle of your eyebrow, one on the side. So you can use that along with the breathing, okay? Once you did some breaths, you can do the marma massage. for a minute, and then once the anger goes back to the heart, you can do chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a clear mind, and then completely remove the anger. So I hope these hints and points from Bhagavad Gita and Ayurveda were helpful. So we control our anger and use it in the right way. Like I use it, in my training, in my teaching others martial arts and training myself. So anger is, you can use it in sparring, but under control. So I hope these points were helpful, and I hope anger will not slow you down on the path to Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much for your attention. And if you have any questions about anger, I'll be very happy to try to answer. Thank you. No questions? Oh, there's a question.
Hare Krishna, Junacharya. You had read the verse that there's a progression with having the emotion of anger. So connected to having the anger is getting attached. So you were describing, various techniques for dissipating the anger from, physiologically spreading. It seems that in some sense, anger could be fed by being attached to certain ideas. So it may not be on the immediate, an immediate reaction to something, but it could be cultivated almost internally if one's very attached to some ideas that provoke anger. So that seems a different kind of monitoring is needed in that case. At least I'm just thinking further. So if you have any thought, if this is an accurate understanding.
Thank you for this nice comment, Mataji. I think you're perfectly right. You're going in the right direction there, because I know for myself that I'm still very much attached to ideas and lifestyle that is not 100% non-violent. As part of my job, and I also, because I have attachments, I like to practice martial arts. So, and sometimes, whether I want or not, I hear comments from people because they know I practice martial arts, I teach them, so they give me comments of what happened. And there was a fight between these two guys, and they describe the fight to me. And sometimes, not too long ago, I used to watch fights, on TV to be update, to be on updated and know what's going on in the world of martial arts. And the idea of not only practicing martial arts as a good way to stay in health and fitness and shape, but also this idea and the way you develop knowledge and you practice and you associate with those who are like-minded encourages you from within to be somewhat aggressive. Because martial arts, let's face it, it was originally a military art. And you have to, with a clear mind, but you have to be aggressive to, repel the opponent's attack or defend yourself, defend your country, defend your family. Military arts requires, like Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, some aggression, controlled anger. And then, once again, if there is no need to defend yourself, the value of martial arts is questionable, but because of the world we live in, I still feel that there is validity in practicing martial arts and using it in a controlled way. Other than that, it's great for exercise, but I completely agree. There's that I can see in myself that I am I'm more angry than I need to be because of the way I live, very energetic, exercise oriented, martial arts oriented. So this kind of ideology that I got from before I became Krishna conscious is still with me, and it still affects me, I think, to a degree. You know, but I think, I'm not sure if I'm going the right direction, but I think I can see that some people who are like me, you know, practicing martial arts, but they're not into Krishna consciousness, they may have to deal with that anger even more, because they don't have maybe that spiritual foundation that we do. And they may just have to be able to, you know, punch the wall and break some boards and punch somebody. They, you know, they have a limited way of controlling that anger. And we have different ways of controlling that anger. And because of Bhagavad Gita and the spiritual culture that we have so many, the knowledge is so rich, you can address the anger from different points, from different angles. And that's what's great. One of the things that's so great about Vedic culture, it's so complete and comprehensive. You can take care of any problem that we have in our mind or body. Thank you. Any other questions? Anything? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.